talking about blessing and how blessing comes and where it comes and why it comes and all that sort of thing. Everything you always want to know about blessing, but we're afraid to ask. That's what we're going to talk about. Actually, how do you count your blessings is the title of this series. Verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's bow our hearts down in a word of prayer. God and Father, again, we do thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity of looking at your word and studying it together this morning. As we do so, we pray that the things said and done would honor and glorify the name of Christ and will be edifying to the saints. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, this morning, as I said, we're going to continue talking about the issue of blessing. And last week we started this just with some definitions and some understandings of what blessing is. First of all, we used a dictionary definition of blessing. To bless or to bless to or a blessing is to speak well of, to distinguish with favor, or to confer happiness. So if you distinguish someone with favor, that is, you give them something. You know, if somebody gives you a car, you can say, "That so-and-so has blessed me with a new car." To give them something, to confer happiness upon someone, or to speak well of it. When we, you know, if a man goes to his girlfriend's parents seeking her hand in marriage, and he might ask for their blessing on that marriage. Well, that means he wants them to approve it, to speak well of it. So we use the word, it's in common usage today, in much the same way it's used in the Bible, to confer something upon someone, distinguish them with favor by giving them something, to speak well of it, to hold it in high esteem, to give it high regard. All of those things have to do with being blessed or blessing someone. Now, last week also, we talked about the two different kinds of blessing that you see in the Bible. One of those kinds of blessing is blessing that relates to creation. That is, that all men, all people who live on planet Earth are blessed just because they're a part of God's creation. And God has put things in creation that are a blessing to us. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, is the Paul's take on that natural blessing. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. In that verse, you know, Paul talks about the fact that every creature of God is good. Verse 3, God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Those things that God has created, whether they're the creatures that Paul talks about here, whether it's the plant world, whatever it is that's out there in creation, in the natural world, God has created them for our use and to be a blessing to us. But not just to us, believers, but to all men. The difference is, God hath created them to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. If you believe and know the truth about where those things came from, then you'll give thanks to God for them. Someone who doesn't believe and know the truth about where those things came from, then they're not thankful, they don't know, they don't care how they got here, or you know, they think they evolved, or whatever the case might be. But Paul says, you that believe and know the truth, you should be thankful for those things. So, is it proper to give thanks for your food? Yes. Yeah. Is it proper to be thankful that you have a house to live in, a car to drive, a job, or any of those things? Absolutely. Now, but you're thankful for them in that context, that God put them here as a part of nature. It's not that I sat down at the supper table and said, okay, God, I need some food, and bam, he dropped it down out of heaven in front of me. It's not that kind of giving you food. In fact, one thing we didn't touch on last week, go back to the book of Genesis. There is a distinction in your Bible between before the fall and after the fall, and those things that God created and being thankful for them, and how you had been thankful before the fall and how you're thankful after the fall. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. If you are freely eating, of every tree of the garden, that word there, freely, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. What does it mean when something's free? No charge. Don't have to work for it. That's a good, you don't have to work for it. It's just, here it is. No charge. Don't have to work for it. Don't have to do anything to earn it. That's Genesis 2:15. Look at Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. What's the situation in Genesis 3:19? Is it free anymore? It's labor now. Mark said, or somebody said, you have to work for it. When it's free, it means you don't have to work for it. In Genesis 3:19, do you have to work for it? Yeah, you do. So there is a little difference in the Bible between, before the fall, before sin entered into mankind, you would freely eat. After the fall, now it's by the sweat of your face. Now you labor in order to eat. But still, the stuff is there. When you sit down to Thanksgiving dinner, and you have the turkey and the stuffing and the mashed potatoes and the cranberry sauce and the, the cranberries only came after the curse. They're part of the curse, cranberries. Before the curse, cranberries tasted good. After the curse, they taste like cranberries. So you can't really count them. But the turkey and the stuffing and the all the good stuff, it's still out there. Even after the curse, it's still there. Now you have to work to get it. It's not given to you anymore. Now you have to work to get it. But it's still there. It's still a part of that natural creation. It's still something that we should be thankful for. So those blessings are things to be thankful for with the understanding of where they came from. They didn't come to you any differently than they came to the unsaved man. The believer doesn't get any more of those blessings than the unbeliever does. Some people prosper, some people don't. Some people have lots of those kinds of things, some people don't have lots of them. And it doesn't really matter if you're saved or lost or what your spiritual condition is, those things are just out there. You should be thankful for them because you believe and know the truth about where those things come from. You should be thankful for them. But not because God gave them specifically to you to the exclusion of everyone else, because he gave them to everyone. Now there's another kind of blessing, and this is the one that we're talking about in this series of studies. That blessing of creation is very non-discriminatory. That is, everybody gets it. If you can chase it down and kill it, you can eat it. Or if you can pay somebody to chase it down and kill it, then you can eat it. If you can grow it, you can eat it. Or if you can pay somebody to grow it, you can eat it. Anybody, saved or lost, non-discriminatory. But there's a kind of blessing in the Bible that's very discriminatory, that God discriminates about who he gives it to. And that blessing is blessing that is directly from him to his people and given in a way that's above nature, given in a way that is supernatural. That's why we call the things God does and the blessings he gives specifically supernatural blessings, because they're not a part of nature. They're not a part of his creation. They're not a part of the animal world or the plant world or any of that. They are supernatural, and they're not a part of the processes of nature. They are supernatural over and above that. We want to look at that happening in the Old Testament, and we want to look at that happening in the dispensation of grace today as we talk about why we are blessed. Why is it that God separates out people and gives them some things? Look in Genesis chapter 12. We looked at this passage last week briefly, and we look at it often. But in this discussion of talking about blessing, it certainly is appropriate to look at Genesis chapter 12, if for no other reason, in that how often the word bless comes up in these few verses here. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that blesseth thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Verse 2, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. Here in Genesis 12, God takes a group of people, well, he takes one man, actually, that will become a group of people when his seed is counted. And he says, I am going to bless you, Abraham, and I'm going to bless your seed. That is, I'm going to give you some things that are outside of, over and above, nature. Over and above the fact that you have food to eat and you have materials to build a shelter and materials to make clothes and all of those things that are in nature, over and above that, I'm going to give you some more things. And as you follow through the history of this nation, you see some of those things that God is going to give. Turn over to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 18. I'm going to bless Abraham and bless his seed. Genesis 15, 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. So what's one of the blessings, one of the things that God gave to Abraham and his descendants that he didn't give to everybody else? Piece of land, piece of real estate. And the boundaries of that are defined there in the passage. From the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. You know, when you're going to school, you learned about the Fertile Crescent, the Tigris-Euphrates River Valley, and the Nile River Delta, and how that, you know, makes all the fertile soil and all of that. That's the, God said, I'm going to give you this land. It's a really good piece of land. It's a really good piece of real estate. Everything's going to prosper there. I'm going to give this piece of ground to you. He didn't give it to Egypt. He didn't give it to Babylon. In fact, all those people that are living there in the land are going to have to leave because God decided to give it to Israel, to the descendants of Abraham. So these people that are there now, the Kenanites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, they're all going to have to leave because I'm giving it to you. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. This is after Abraham, but still in that seed that had come from Abraham. One of that seed was Moses. And Moses speaks to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 4:5 and says, Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. So there's that land that God gave to Abraham back there in Genesis 15. Moses is still talking about that land and how you're going to go into that land. Verse 6, Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? What nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? What's something else that God gave to Israel that he didn't give to anybody else? His law. Here's a law. Here's my righteous statutes and ordinances. And the other nations are going to look at you and they're going to say, My goodness, what kind of a nation is it that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law? What kind of a nation is it that God would give His will to? Paul says over in Romans chapter 2, If thou be a Jew and knowest His will, having that law allowed them to know God's will for any given situation or circumstance in their life. And the other nations look at that and say, Oh my goodness, what kind of a nation is it that has God give to them His law? So God gave Israel land. God gave Israel law. And understand something. We're going to talk in a minute about some conditional blessings for Israel. But if you go back and read that verse about the land in Genesis chapter 15, you'll notice that there is no condition put on that. God says in Genesis 15, you don't have to go back, I'll just read it to you. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. Is there any condition on that?
No.
There's no condition. This land belongs to the seed, the children of Abraham, through Isaac and Jacob. Even if they are disobedient and get driven out of that land, whose land is it? It's still their land. It's an unconditional covenant with Abraham. The law, God gave Israel the law. Even if they disobey the law and break it, do they still have it? They still have it. So there are some issues in the Old Testament where God just says, Abraham, this is yours. That's it. This is yours. Now, there are also things, and we're going to look at them in just a few minutes, where God says, now, if you do certain things, I'll sweeten the pot and make it even better. But this thing, it's yours. The land, it's yours. The law, it's yours. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 5. In Isaiah 5, God sort of gives you a little review, so to speak, or Isaiah gives a review of what God did for Israel, some of those blessings that he gave them. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. And the vineyard is Israel. If you look down in verse 7, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. The house of Israel, remember you have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let me use this fancy new board here. You have Abraham, you have Isaac, you have Jacob. Jacob's name gets changed to Israel. Israel has 12 sons. They become the heads of the 12 tribes. And actually, you know, Joseph has two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and they take the place of one and all. But for the most part, Israel has 12 sons. They become the heads of the 12 tribes. So when he says that the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, he's talking about these people right here. The sons of Jacob, Israel, his 12 sons, and their sons and daughters that become the nation. That's who the house of Israel is. The house of Israel are the descendants of Jacob. Those descendants of Jacob are God's vineyard. Back to verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. So that's what we're talking about, those descendants of Jacob. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. So there's this vineyard. That vineyard is planted in a very fruitful hill. Remember we said it's that between the Nile and the Euphrates, it's that fertile crescent. It's that area of the world that was very productive. It's that part of the world, it's actually where the Garden of Eden was. All God's dealings on planet Earth have centered on that area, and I'm going to give that land to you. Verse 2, he fenced it. He built a fence around it. What does Paul call the fence he built around it? The middle wall of partition. I make a fence around that nation. Middle wall of partition. I divide you off, sever you from other people, and I protect you. One of the things I do after I build the fence around it, I gather out the stones thereof. Remember the Girgashites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites and the Rephaim and all of that? Once God built the fence around, then what did he have to do with those Gentile nations that were inside the fence? Got to get them out of there. You build the fence, then you throw them out on the outside of the fence so they can't get back in. So he builds the fence, the middle wall of partition. He drives out the Gentile nations. He planted it with the choicest vine. That is, he blessed the people, the sons of Israel, are blessed in a supernatural way, the choicest vine. He blessed them in a supernatural way as he put them in that land. He built a tower in the midst of it. The leadership of the tower in the vineyard was the place where the watchman stood, so he could see anything that was going to come in to try to destroy or steal from the vineyard. The leadership of the nation, the priesthood, and the kings of the nation were to guard that nation. They were to be the watchmen. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about the watchman and how the watchman is to watch, and if the watchman gives a warning, then his hands are clean of any blood that comes. The watchman are the leadership of that nation. He built a wine press therein. The wine press is the law. That as a wine press in a vineyard crushes the grapes to produce the fruit, the wine, the law crushes the pride and the haughty spirit of man to produce true righteousness. Not human self-righteousness, but true righteousness, God's righteousness. All of those things there in chapter 5 are things, this is my well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He fenced it. He gathered out the stones. He planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower. He put a wine press in it. He looked for the fruit. All of those things are God, things that God just did. Here, Israel, this is yours. And all of those, what did you have to be or do? Why did you get those blessings? What were the conditions upon which you got those blessings? You're an heir of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob, not through Ishmael and Esau. That's a different story. You're an heir of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. You're one of the one of the 12 tribes that came from Israel. And you get those blessings just because of birth. Now, there's another way to get blessed. If you go back to that original passage in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, Genesis 12, verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. So is there any way to get, if you're not an heir of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob, and these 12 sons, if you're not that, is there any way to get blessed? Is there any way to get in on that deal? Yeah, how do you get in on the deal? You have to bless them. You have to speak well of them. You have to give to them. And as you go through the Old Testament, you see many examples of that. You see Rahab the harlot, who hid the spies when they came in to spy out the land. She's a Gentile harlot. And she's in Israel's Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11 because she blessed Israel. And God blessed her family and delivered them out. Hiram, who helped Solomon build the temple. 1 Kings says, Hiram was ever a lover of David. And when Solomon wanted to build the temple that his father David had planned, he went to Hiram and said, Hiram, I need your help in building this temple. And a Gentile king is helping build the temple for Jehovah God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why? Because he was ever a lover of David. He had blessed David. And therefore, he becomes a part of that covenant and that blessing that God made with Abraham. I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curseth you. So there is a way in the Old Testament for Gentiles that are not the house of Israel to get that blessing and to get in on, if you will, that special, supernatural, discriminatory blessing of God that came only on the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's a way for them to get it too. Now, one other thing. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. There's another issue with this blessing in the Old Testament. And that is that there is blessing for obedience. Now, you know, this can get a little bit, you know, to distinguish the two. The land God gave to Abraham was not based on obedience. It was by faith Abraham received that covenant, that land, that promise. The law was not, you know, based on obedience. Here it is, that's yours. The land, the middle wall of partition, I separate you from other people, make you different. That wasn't for obedience, that was just because God chose to do it. But there are blessings, Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, and you should all know this passage in Deuteronomy 28. It shall come to pass If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall thou be in the city, blessed shall thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shall be when thou goest out. I mean, you get the idea that there's some blessing to be had there. And there is blessing to be had for obedience. Verse 2, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. There are some physical things, even over and above just you've got a land, you've got a law, you've got a middle wall of partition. Now, if you want to get some good things, you need to obey me. If you obey me, then you will prosper in that land that I've given to you. If you obey me, then I will keep those Gentiles away from that land that I've given you. It all revolves around that land that they were given to begin with. It's your land. And if you want to take care of the land well, then what you need to do is obey me, and I'll make sure that the crops grow well. Look down to verse 11. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. You notice what these things in Deuteronomy 28 are about. How good is it going to be in the land? Notice the distinction in verse 11. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Did they have the land either way? Yeah. God swore to your fathers to give you the land. Either way, come hell or high water, you got the land. But if you want to prosper in the land, if you want to be plenteous in goods and the fruit of your body and the fruit of the cattle and the fruit of thy ground in that land, then you got to obey me. You got to keep my law. You got to keep my covenant. And of course, if you don't, we know the flip side, verse 15, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, cursed shall thou be in the field, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. God shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. And the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave to thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land whither ye go to possess it. So, is the land theirs? You're going in there to possess it, but if you don't obey me, I'm going to consume you from off of it. But it's still your land. So there is a distinction, and I point that out just to say there is a distinction in the Old Testament between a blessing. If you're a child of Israel, that land is yours. You can be the most worthless slug ever, and that land is yours because God gave it to Abraham and to his seed. Now, it's going to be miserable for you in that land if you're a worthless slug that disobeys God, because the rain's not going to come, the heaven over thy head will be brass, the earth that's under thy feet will be iron, the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust, from heaven it shall come upon thee until thou be destroyed, he'll bring your enemies up, he'll chase you out of the land, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be terrible, but it's still your land. It's a miserable land now, but it's still yours. But there is this blessing for obedience in Deuteronomy 28. There is this physical blessing that comes on Israel when they obey, when they listen to God, when they don't just have his law, but they do his law. It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do these things. Then he'll prosper us in that land. Then he'll make the rain fall in its due season. Then he'll make the sun shine when it's supposed to shine. Then he'll make our cattle be fruitful, and our land be fruitful, and our flocks be fruitful, and everything will be fruitful. So in the Old Testament, you got to be a child of Israel, or you got to bless Israel to get any kind of blessing. If you are that, you can get additional blessing by obeying God. You can get physical blessing by obeying God because you're a physical descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God rewards those physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that obey him with physical blessing. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 1. What does Paul say about blessing? Why are we blessed today? Well, let's just look at this first and then we'll talk about it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Why are you blessed? If you're blessed today, why is it? Because you're in Christ. Similar, if you're blessed back here, it's because you are in who? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You are of the household of Israel. He calls it in Isaiah chapter 5, the household of Israel. Today, you are blessed because you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're blessed. If you're not in Christ, what? You're not blessed. Except for those natural blessings. See, and that's where people get confused. Well, here's a guy that's a dirty, rotten scoundrel and rejects God totally. But look at all that he has. He's got a big house, a big car, lots of food. Da 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 da, on and on and on and on. Well, how can he be so blessed? Well, because the blessing of nature is non-discriminatory. It doesn't discriminate between the just and the unjust. It doesn't discriminate between those of faith and those that don't have faith. It's just out there. And that guy that has a lot, even though he's a dirty, rotten scoundrel, that's a part of nature's blessing. But in Ephesians 1, Paul's talking about blessing that that guy can't have because he's not in Christ. There are blessings that are available only to those that are in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. First Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Now, and what body is that? Verse 27. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now, I have a question. Why does Paul say, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body? Verse 27 tells us that's the body of Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Now, in the Old Testament, the basis of your blessing, what did you have to be blessed? A Jew. You had to be a descendant of Abraham. You had to be a Jew to be blessed. Paul specifically says in the dispensation of grace, your blessing is not based upon whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Not only does that mean your blessing can't be based upon whether you're a Jew, but can your blessing be based upon how you treat a Jew? No, because that's taken off the table. The whole Jew-Gentile thing is taken off the table. So when a preacher stands up and says, oh, the United States of America better support Israel because, you know, I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curses you, is that right? Not today, it's not. Back then it was. It's not right. Your blessing today doesn't come because you treated a Jew a certain way or treated that nation a certain way. Your blessing comes today because you are in a body, the body of Christ. Verse 13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither Jew nor Greek. So can your blessing be based upon whether you're a Jew or a Greek? Or how you treat a Jew or a Greek? There is neither. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. And understand, you look at that passage. Does it mean there's no such thing as a Jew or a Greek today? No. Because is there such a thing as male and female today? Yes. But what it does mean is your blessing is not based upon being a Jew or a Greek. Your blessing is not based upon being male or female. Your blessing is not based upon being, are there bond and free people today? Sure there are. But your blessing is not based upon whether you're bond or free. For you're all one, where? In Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So how do you get to be Abraham's seed because you're a descendant of Israel? No, you get to be Abraham's seed because you're in Christ. Your blessing comes in Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Ephesians 2:14. For he, Christ, is our peace, who hath made both. And in the context of the passage, it's Jew and Gentile. Christ is our peace, who hath made Jew and Gentile one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Remember in Isaiah 5? What was one of the blessings he gave to Israel? He built a what around them? Built a fence around them. And we said, what did Paul call that fence? Middle wall partition. What happened to the fence? Somebody tore it down. So that blessing that God had given Israel to make them what they were, what happened to it? It's not there anymore. Being a part of Israel doesn't get you anything anymore. The wall is down. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Didn't we say that the law was one of the things, one of those great blessings that God gave to Israel? What happened to the law? It was abolished. That's the word Paul used. It was having abolished the handwriting of ordinances. He abolished it. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both, Jew and Gentile, that is, unto God in one body. What is that body? The body of Christ. Where is your reconciliation today? In the body of Christ. Where is your blessing today? In the body of Christ. Where is your forgiveness today? In the body of Christ. It's all in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How do you get in Christ? By faith. The passage we read in Galatians says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It's by faith. It's not that you're born into a certain nation. It's not that you've blessed a certain nation. It's not that you've obeyed the law. If the law is abolished, what good is it going to do to obey it? You ever think of it? All these people say, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, if the Ten Commandments are abolished as the means of blessing, go ahead and keep them. Don't expect any blessing for it, though. Because Paul says, you know, that's a pretty strong word, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. How does he say it in the book of Colossians? Flip over there. Colossians chapter 2 in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Paul uses pretty strong language about what happened to the old law, doesn't he? It's abolished. It was nailed to the cross. If you want to have a symbol, somebody on the cross today, don't draw a cross and put Christ on it. Draw a cross and hang the Ten Commandments on it. Oh, people would have a fit about that, wouldn't they? He says, I nailed that law to the cross. So the obedience to that law is no longer the way you get blessed. There is one way to get blessed today, to be in Christ. If you're in Christ, you are blessed. If you're not in Christ, you're not. Period. Now, we want to talk about the whole idea of, well, what about obedience? Remember back there, obedience to the law brought certain other blessings. Well, we've already seen the law is kind of not an issue anymore. But what about obedience? Does that bring some kind of additional blessing? And we're going to talk about that. Next week, we talk about how we are blessed. What type of blessing is it? We know where we're blessed. We know how we're blessed, rather. We are blessed by being in Christ. And that's the only thing. That's the only thing that will get you blessing in the dispensation of grace is to be in Christ. And you only get in Christ by faith. By faith in His finished work at Calvary, you get in Him. And once you get in Him, then you have all that blessing. Just like Israel, all they had to do was be born as a descendant of Abraham, they got the blessing. But we don't do it by birth into a physical family. We do it by faith into a spiritual family. And Paul says in Ephesians 2, you then become part of the, what's the word he uses in Ephesians 2? Who remembers? Relates to family. You are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Isn't a household kind of like a family? Kind of. Everybody in your household. But it's not a physical family. It's not descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a spiritual family, a spiritual household by those that are in Christ. Blessing today is in Christ and nowhere else. And it comes by faith and no way else. Let's bow our hearts down in a word of prayer. God and Father, again, we do thank You for Jesus Christ, for the opportunity of looking to Your Word, studying it together this morning as we've done so. We pray that the things said and done are brought honor and glory to the name of Christ, been edifying to the saints. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.